two pages, I believe, that really, they're hard to describe how powerful they are. On Wednesday night, for those who are here, we covered the bedevilments on page 51 or 52, which is the what an unmanageable life looks like. And the result, it says it's the result of self-sufficiency. And that if you don't want to have a life that's bedeviled by the description on page 52, then you might want to have a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe. And that was how people solved their problem in AA up to that time. It says, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did. And then we talked about when we became an alcoholic, we were crushed by a self-imposed crisis I could not postpone or evade on page 53. Could not postpone or evade it. That's when you're crushed because you can see the truth. Now, you became an alcoholic long before that, but when you were crushed by the self-imposed crisis you cannot postpone or evade, you can see the truth about being an alcoholic. It's a gift from God. And then you had to fearlessly face this question. There's only one question in AA. Either God is everything or else he is nothing. And then you only have one choice in AA. What is your choice to be? Pretty simple. And it, if I choose myself, I'm going to have fear. I'm going to have judgment, my character defects. I'll take actions to fix all that, harm others. I won't feel good. Now, I know right away when I'm choosing me, I don't feel right. I just don't feel right. So I have to stop and say, God, I need to choose you. Change the way I'm seeing whatever it is. And if I don't even know what I'm seeing, just take away whatever is... Just get me close to you. I keep it very simple. It always works when I do that. So I went through the review, and we're going to pick up there, and I'm going to say the set-aside prayer because God's the one that's going to direct my thinking today, I hope. So I'm going to ask God, set aside everything I think I know about you, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially let go of all my old ideas so I can live on your truth. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy on me. Help us today to glorify you by carrying your message. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we're now on page 53. I don't know how they wrote this chapter. I wish I had been there when they put it together with all the resources that they had from the Oxford Group and all these books. I've seen all those books, I've heard discussion, but nobody really knows how it was actually synthesized. And it's like, how did Paul write Romans, you know? How did that happen? And so we weren't there, but we know the hand of God. So when you're faced with the question on page 53, is God everything or nothing? It says, when you've arrived at this point, now, this is the new person, crushed by self-imposed crisis. And I hope when people come to AA, they're crushed like I was, because I was really crushed. But you know, alcoholics can take a lot of crushing. And so we take a lot of pain. I've seen people take a lot of pain to come in here. And I was in a lot of pain before I was crushed. Anybody have that experience? But when I was crushed, I remember getting down on my knees and I said, Jesus, help me. I didn't want to do it anymore. So I arrived at this point, we're squarely confronted with the question of faith. Remember, we talked, there's a distinction between belief and faith in AA. We start with belief and then we get faith by God revealing himself to us. So we have true trust in God if you've worked the steps. Now, a lot of people say, well, I don't believe there's God or this and that. But remember the central fact and the great fact of people who have worked the steps is on page 25. And it's good reviewing. I took out my old book, it's fallen apart. But I wanted to use those two pages today because it has so many notes in there. And the central fact of their lives today is the absolute certainty. So it's faith that's absolutely certain that my Creator has entered into my heart and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. And God has accomplished those things for me which I could not do for myself. And I know that. So there are a lot of people who doubt or question. I have no doubt in my mind. I look back, it says, when we look back, the things that happened when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have imagined. So, we couldn't duck the issue. Now, here's a great few sentences. Some of us had already walked far over the bridge of reason. Notice the capital B and capital R. We worshiped my reasoning toward the desired shore of faith. So there's a bridge when you come to AA. The outlines and the promise of the new land had brought luster to tired eyes. Notice new land is capitalized. Fresh courage to flagging spirits. Friendly hands have stretched out welcome. It's like when you come to AA. We were grateful that reason had brought us so far. But somehow, and this is what I've seen in my experience, we couldn't quite step ashore. I've seen so many cases like that. They want to do it, they're here, they're desperate, but they can't quite step ashore. They're holding on to their rock. They won't drop the rock. They're holding on to their old ideas of themselves or self-sufficiency. It's hard to give up self-sufficiency. Remember, in Bill's story, he writes, this is simple but not easy. It's the destruction of self-centeredness. That's what the steps do. Not just controlling it, destroying it. And then steps 10 and 11 is how I destroy my self-centeredness all the time because it doesn't go away. Isn't that a son of a... It says, perhaps we had been leaning too heavily on reason, capital R, and I put in there, they left a word out, my reason. My reasoning won't work. It got me here, got me a wristband, got me on my knees, it got me crushed. That last mile, we did not like to lose our support. Notice the word. And we don't want to lose my way, my support, my old ideas. We don't want to give up on ourselves. And I can't, my support won't work. I need God's support, right? And they can't get the deal. They stay at step zero. They talk about the steps, they go to meetings, but they don't do them and nothing changes. If I rely on reason, I have no power not to drink. If I rely on reason, I'm in the world that Michael created. I have no power not to drink. The only way I have power not to drink is if I rely on God's power and I live in God's world where he gives me the power not to drink. That was natural, but let us think a little bit more closely. Without knowing it, had we not been brought to where we stood by a certain kind of faith? This is very good. We did not we believe in our own reasoning? What did that get you? Well, we believed in it. I believed everything I thought, did you? All my resentments were true. All my fears were absolutely true in my head. I was always right, they were always wrong. People just didn't understand me. My motives were always good. Anybody else have good motives all the time? Yeah, how ridiculous. Did we not have confidence in our ability to think? Now, I think that's the one thing I want to lose. I don't want to have confidence in my ability to think. Grady read it wrong. It's Alcoholics Anonymous. It's not a desire not to drink. It's a desire not to think. We don't want to think anymore on our own, on our old ideas, because I was always wrong. I told somebody that. They argued with me and quoted Plato and all this stuff. But after doing his four-step, he says, you know, I was wrong about everything. It's good to be wrong. We don't want to be right. And we want to see when we're wrong and change with God. What was that but a sort of faith? Yes, we had been faithful, abjectly faithful to the God of reason. And I wrote my reasoning. Now, I'm not my creator. Did anybody create themselves? No? Good. I didn't create myself, but I'm judging my creator. Isn't that ridiculous? And I'm faithful to the God of my reason. So one way or another, we discovered that faith had been involved all the time, but it was the wrong faith. And remember, we had to stop playing God on page 62. Why? It didn't work. We found, too, that we had been worshipers. What a state of mental goose flesh. I'm still trying to figure out what that is. Isn't that when you get these little bumps on your skin? But you had it in the brain. We worshipped and it brought on mental goose flesh. Had we not variously worshipped people? You see, we were worshipping things, but it wasn't God. Anybody worship people in approval? Relationships? If I could just find this right person, I'll be happy. Or if I can get rid of this one, I'll be happy. You know, it's either getting rid of them or getting them. I couldn't figure out. Sometimes I was getting and giving them away the same day. I thought that was funny. Nobody laughed. Sentiment, things, anything, money. And here's a little one. Ourselves. We worshiped ourselves. We were the center of our world. I may not be much, but I'm all I think about. Michael the Magnificent. It happened again at Walgreens. It's just down the street here. I'm in there. I'm getting my candy because it's a Netflix night. And the lady's there, and she bought the wrong eye thing, and it was the wrong color, and they couldn't figure out how to exchange it, and then she had a coupon, and there were four people staring at this other guy. I said, well, maybe somebody could open this other register. And I said it very nice, you understand? And they did, and my life went on. Then I go to the food store, and the lady in front of me, everything that the lady put in, she didn't know if she wanted to keep it or not. She didn't have much money, and I felt sorry for it. I was going to give her $30 and say, buy all of it. But you know what? I survived it, and I just stood there, you know? But there, it happens. Anybody relate to anything I'm saying? But I didn't get upset. I was very good because I said, you know, this used to really tip me over, but this is just, I have nothing to do. I'm retired, for God's sake. And then with a better motive, had we not worshipfully beheld the sunset, the sea, or flower, who of us had not loved something or somebody? But when we love something or somebody, it's because that's what we thought we needed to be happy. I think our loves, if you've done your sex inventory and you've looked at your inventory, you see your loves were really to try to fulfill some need inside. How much do these feelings, that's why we want to develop a sane sex ideal, right? And we want to change the way we see relationships, all relationships. How much do these feelings, these loves, this worship have to do with pure reasoning? Little or nothing we saw at last. Were not these things the tissue out of which our lives were constructed? So the tissue out of which my life was constructed were these worships, and they're talking about people, sentiment, things, money, ourselves. So remember, the fabric of our existence is woven through with a evil and corrosive thread of fear, remember? And these things, worshiping these things, corroded my life, separated from me from God. And did anybody make bad decisions based on self that caused them to be harmed and harm others? Anybody? Anybody not? But I don't want to do that anymore. Anybody not want to do that anymore? No. No, I don't want to hurt people or myself or those, anyone. Not just anyone. I want to love every, practice love and tolerance. Imagine life without faith, where nothing left but pure reason, it wouldn't be life. But we believed in life, of course we did. Is anybody alive today? Good, because we're going to talk on the next paragraph why it's important that we understand that. We cannot prove life in the sense that you can prove a straight line is the shortest distance between two points, yet there it was. Could we still say the whole thing was nothing but a mass of electrons created out of nothing, meaning nothing, whirling on to a destiny and nothingness? Of course we couldn't. I love these people who tell me they don't believe in God, and I look at them, and you know, they're drinking coffee, how'd that happen? They get up, they stand up, and they don't collapse. Have you ever wondered why you don't collapse to the ground when you stand up? Because all your blood vessels constrict, your heart rate goes up, you change the proprioceptors in your body, so your body knows you're standing up. And you don't fall down, you don't drop your blood pressure. Anybody ever think about that? No. How'd that happen? Yeah. I'm getting off, I better get back to this. Of course, the electrons themselves seem more intelligent than that. At least so the chemist said. Hence we saw that reason isn't everything. My reason isn't everything. Neither is reason, as most of us use it, entirely dependable. I can't depend on my thinking and my reasoning when I came in here. And I can't really depend on it today if I'm seeing things through self-centered glasses. If I'm disturbed, if I'm judging, if I'm on the left-hand side of the card, I can't trust what I'm seeing. It's probably not true. Though it emanate from our best minds. Well, who says your mind is best? I'm sure it was an alcoholic who said they had a great mind. Because I don't know what's best for me. I didn't, did I? Becoming an alcoholic was the best thing that ever happened to me. And right, is my thinking dependable? Can I rely on it? Look at the results. Yet we've been seeing another kind of flight, a spiritual liberation from this world. That's what you see in AA. You hear how their lives were, and you see that they've been spiritually liberated from this self-centered world. People who rose above their problems. They said God made these things possible. Isn't that what we say? It says that several times in the book. And we only smiled, you know, we're so smart, you know. We had seen spiritual release, but like to tell ourselves it wasn't true. So now we're getting to the three paragraphs that really, I've gone through this, I've listened to people talk about it. Every time I read it, I get something out of it. See if, especially if you're reading it for the first time. Well, here's the deal. I was fooling myself when I smiled and said, they said these things are possible. I smiled when I was worshiping my mind. I smiled when these people were telling me about spiritual matters, and that's just silly. For deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. And that is true. Scripture says that. Scripture says that we can see God in nature. All of us, we know that there's a God. C.S. Lewis, in his book, Mere Christianity, talks about all human beings from the beginning of time have had some moral code. They knew that killing somebody wasn't really good. They understood that, you see. There's a moral code that we have that's given us from God. Deep down in every man, woman, and child, and it's very deep in some of us when we come in here, is the fundamental idea of God. But it's not conscious. And we want to make that idea conscious through the steps. The idea of God is buried. And we are playing God. And it says it's obscured. I've obscured this by calamity. By pomp, which is ostentatious worship or vanity. By worship of other things, which they talked about here, people, sentiment, money, ourselves. But some form or other, it is there. It is there. God is there. For faith in a power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives are facts as old as man himself. Now, anybody don't believe that, this book is a testament to that. That's what this book is. It's an experience, written experience of people who've had miraculous demonstrations of God's power in their lives through a faith and power greater than themselves. And it's facts. You can believe it. You don't have to like their testimony. They don't care. And you don't have to want to do the steps. We don't care. But if your reasoning has not worked and you're crushed and you want to live a different life, then try this. And here's what they finally saw. They finally saw, this is after they've done the deal, that faith in some kind of God was part of our makeup. Faith is part of our makeup. But they had to find that, and here's how they found it, just as much as the feeling we have for a friend. Sometimes we had to search fearlessly. Does that sound like a steps? Like steps 4 through 9? But when, after you do steps 4 through 9, he was there. What does it say on page 84? We have entered the world of the Spirit. You finish steps 4 through 9 and you enter this world of the Spirit where God is the center. And you know that he's there. And it says on page 84 that we have stopped fighting everybody and everything, for sanity is returned. We are seldom interested in liquor. The problem has been removed by who? God. If you're in the world of the Spirit and you're with God, then you're restored to sanity, a position of neutrality, safe and protected, remember? But he was there. Now, if you don't search fearlessly, you're left with your worshiping your own self, not stepping ashore to faith, living in the bridge of reason, hanging out there in the middle of nowhere, with no power not to drink or live. So we had to search fearlessly, but he was there, notice capital H. He was as much a fact as we were. Now, does everybody believe that they exist today? Anybody not believe that? So as much as you believe you're alive, God's there. It's a fact. But we don't argue with people who don't want to believe in God, and they don't want to step ashore, and they don't want to give up their self-sufficiency. You know why? It doesn't do any good. It's completely a waste of time to try to get someone to see and get rid of their old ideas. You can't reason somebody out of your old ideas. They have to be driven out of them by pain. We found the great reality. Notice the G and the R. The great reality is deep down inside of me. In the last analysis, it is only there that he may be found. It was so with us. So what you do in the steps is you break everything down. It's like you take the statue of Michelangelo. When we come in, we are the statue of Michelangelo, full of crap, covered by our own crap that we've created. You don't see Michelangelo. You don't see it. All you see is this statue full of crap on it. And then you work the steps and you peel it away and you see this beautiful sculpture. Now how'd that happen? It was there the whole time. Michelangelo said that, how did he create it? They asked him, he said, I took the piece of marble and I just cut away everything that wasn't David. It's 25 feet tall, by the way. I've seen it, it's in Florence, it's huge, it's really something. It's in the last analysis that only there he may be found. It was so with us. So if you're looking for recovery, you want to be recovered, you have to fearlessly face, search, find the great reality, and then keep your relationship with that reality alive all the time. So it's not a one-time deal. So you have to do it all day long, every day, every minute for the rest of your life. And how do you do it? God is everything or nothing. What's your choice to be? So choose God. I'm going to tell you, it's a good idea. And when people call me and they're disturbed, well, they didn't choose God. They waited. They got disturbed for 25 or 30 minutes. I used to do that. It's so stupid. I used to have like a minute of disturbance. And the nurse says, well, can we make it 30 seconds, doctor? What about 10? And it's true. And so I'm not proud of myself when I get disturbed and stay disturbed anymore. is it was a waste of time. It says we can only clear the ground a bit, and this is their testimony. So here's what they want you to do. One, if the testimony that they've given you up to this point helps sweep away prejudice, prejudgment. Two, enables you to think honestly. Three, encourages you to search diligently within yourself, not out there. You got to search inside of yourself for the power. Then, if you wish, you can join us on the broad highway. So if you can sweep away prejudice, enable you to think honestly, and search diligently, then, only then can you join them on the broad highway, because if you don't, you're not going to do it. You're going to stay on your highway. Now, I don't want to stay on my highway. I was on the wrong highway. Anybody get a DUI because they drove on the wrong highway? Yeah. Then you can join us on the broad highway. With this attitude, you cannot fail. So the attitude you want is to sweep away prejudice, enable you to think honestly, encourages you to search diligently with yourself. Then you can join them on the broad highway. Now, listen to this statement. With this attitude, you cannot fail. You won't fail. If you sweep away all your prejudice, all your old ideas, remember, it says let go of all your old ideas. If you can think honestly about yourself and your motives and help somebody see you, and you search diligently within yourself, you cannot fail. And what's going to happen? The consciousness of your belief is sure to come to you. Faith is the consciousness of your belief. That's what a spiritual experience or spiritual awakening is. You have the consciousness of your belief is sure to come. And now I know when I'm disturbed, if I go to God and say, remove my fear, it's going to happen. If I go to God and say, I'm judging now, please give me love and tolerance, it always happens. Never fails. God never fails me when I ask him for those things. I'm not asking for a new car or this and that. And I'm not asking to change other people. I'm asking him to change the way I see things. So I think you'll agree this is really powerful information. I don't even know that it's really just step two. It's really all the steps. It's the whole deal. And so this is why it's hard to explain to a newcomer what's really going on. They don't see this. They think they drink too much or their wife nags them too much. And you know, they need to stop drinking. Well, that's true. But this is what you have to stop doing, worshiping other things, worshiping yourselves, self-sufficiency. You have to give up all your prejudice, all your old ideas, search diligently with someone, and that's what this book from the next chapter on tells you what to do. That's why we read it and study it. So I'm going to end there, and I really enjoyed that. I really got a lot out of it. So it's changed my life knowing all that. So then knowing that, if I go to Walgreens today, what am I going to do? Somebody's in front of me with 18 coupons at 45. I'll just sing Kumbaya or whatever. You know, it's not worth, there's nothing worth getting disturbed. Just another aside, my sweet daughter, she told me how much she loves me the other day and this and that. And she's worried about her 5-year-old daughter growing up and being a certain way. I said, she's 5, Julie. Well, I know, but you understand. I said, she's 5, Julie. She's getting a tutor in kindergarten. I said, she's 5, Julie, please. And I said, Julie, you have a fear. And because of this fear, you're driving yourself crazy and you're tormenting this sweet little child. Your fear's not true. Well, no, it's not true. It's 8:30 on Thursday night and you're sitting in a chair and this fear doesn't exist. So she was actually listening to me, and I said, why don't you get a God box and put your life in it and put Camille's life in it and your husband's life in it, put me in it, put everybody in it. And then enjoy your evening. And so She didn't hang up with me, and she's wonderful, but you see how people do it. She's great. She loves the kids, so she's so afraid that they were, oh. So anyway, there you go. She won't listen to this. I know that. She won't. Thank you.